Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
It's a grief. If you got your Bible, let's go to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 21. 1 Kings chapter number 21. And I've been studying this for a little bit, and you ever get bogged down when you're studying your Bible and seems like you know the Lord's trying to give you something, but you're reading it seems like it's just words on a page, and that's kind of how it was for a couple days in studying this chapter. And then last night I was in my study late, and the Lord kindly just, it's amazing how He does. Sometimes He'd give it to you faster than you can write it down, and that's kind of how this happened. And so I've got a real treat for you tonight. Not that my preaching's a treat, but the Word of God is a treat, amen. And to look forward to what we can learn and be encouraged through the Word of God tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 21, you pray for me tonight. I don't know why it is, but I get more nervous preaching here than anywhere else in the whole country, amen, amen. And I'll tell you this, even more nervous in prison. You say, why not in prison? Well, they're all dressed the same, amen. They can't go nowhere. They can't get mad at you and leave, amen. Listen, that's funny, okay? So y'all pray for us tonight. The Lord will help us with our nerves. 1 Kings chapter number 21. Found your place. I invite you to stand tonight in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And we'll see what we can learn out of here with the help of the Lord tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 21, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Look with me in verse number 6. "And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else it will please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard." And I want us to look at this text for a little while tonight and preach simply upon the thought of what I have is not for sale. What I have is not for sale. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing of the reading of His Word. Our Father, in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, I need Your help and I need Your touch, God. God, I stand in a place where no man can stand alone. And I pray for just a little while tonight that You would but help me, God. And God, I pray that You will be in the service tonight, that you would help it, Father, to get to the hearers' hearts, Father, tonight, God. Most of all, if there's one here lost tonight, I pray that tonight would be the night of salvation for them, that they come to know You as their Savior before it's eternally too late. For that one tonight that may be in a backslidden state, God, I pray tonight would be the night You draw them back closer to You. And God, I pray that You would just help us and set in our midst, show up and show out tonight. And God, most of all, God, I pray that You'll be magnified, that Jesus will be glorified, and the church will be edified, and I'll be careful to give You all the praise, honor, and glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, as we come into this passage of Scripture here in 1 Kings 21, we find Ahab, the king of Syria. He wants this... vineyard worker, if you want, the owner of this vineyard, Naboth, he's desiring to have Naboth's vineyard. And I want us to look at a few things tonight, and it's going to be very simple, probably not going to teach you nothing you don't already know, but sometimes it's just good to be reminded of some things, amen? And I want us to look at a few things tonight. First of all, what is a vineyard? We know of, now we all think of the very simple answer of what it is. It's grapes on a vine, it's fruit on a vine, but a vineyard is simply a fruitful work is what a vineyard is. It's a fruitful work. You know, if you got a vineyard and you don't have no grapes, you know what you got? You got a bunch of vines. That's all you got, amen? It's not much of a vineyard. But we see that a vineyard is a fruitful work. And we see that Naboth, in this passage of Scripture we're going to look at, we see that he is a picture of the Christian that has a faithful work, that has a faithful walk, that has a faithful word. And we find that Ahab, the king of Samaria here, he is a picture of the devil trying to convince us to give up what we have, amen, as a deceiver, as one who wants to deceive us. And so I want us to look at a few things tonight, and we must realize that a line must be drawn in the sand, that a stand must be taken, and we must determine in our hearts that no matter what anybody says or what the world does, that what we have in old-time religion is not for sale, amen? That what we have in walking hand-in-hand with Jesus on a daily basis, it's not for sale. And I want us to simply look at that thought of what I have is not for sale, amen? And look at a few things tonight. First of all, let's see Ahab's price. Ahab's price. So Ahab goes to Naboth here. He tells Naboth, says, I give me thy vineyard that I may have it. And then I want us to look at a few things here. Ahab's price. What was the price that Ahab had offered? First of all, I want us to note that it was a price of compromise. It was a price of compromise. What did he say? He said, give me thy vineyard, watch this, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, that I may have it for a garden of herbs. You say, what does that mean? Well, let me put it in this perspective. Have any of you ever come in after a long day at work, after you've been maybe mowing the grass or working outside, and you come inside in the evening time, and men, if you got a good wife, she asks you, honey, did I get you anything? You do, yeah, I sure would like a pepper sandwich. I've never done that. If you have, you just might be crazy, amen? But we see that herbs, what is that? It was just, it's just seasoning. It's just a pinch and a dash of the real, it's the essence of the real thing, but it's not the real thing. And Naboth is exactly what he was trying, or Ahab, this is exactly what he was trying to do to Naboth's vineyard. So he wanted to have it for a garden of herbs, to just turn it into the essence of the real thing. And this was a price of compromise. It's a price of compromise. Now this is exactly what the devil and the world tries to do with old-time religion. They go, well, here's what we'll do. We'll take the Bible, we'll put a little bit of truth in it, we'll pull a little bit out, sprinkle a little bit of Jesus in it, and we'll call it a Bible. Amen. Amen. I'll preach till midnight tonight. Somebody say amen. I don't say that haughty, amen, but it's true. That's what the world tries to do. They want to take it and they want to just sprinkle a little bit of the truth in it so that it just eases their conscience and call it a Bible. But we must stand flat-footed and say that the Word of God is not for sale. That we're not going to allow the world to take what we believe and just turn it into the essence of the real thing, to turn it and pervert it and to take verses out of it and to compromise on the Word of God. He said, he wanted to turn into a garden of herbs. That price of compromise. I've said it ever since I started preaching, ever since I've stuck. Preachers always tell you, stick with the stuff. Don't change. Don't ever compromise. And this is the thing. I'll just be real honest with you. And Brother Robert, you've been as faithful as anybody I know down through the years. And Miss Lori, you the same. And this is this is my mentality. I would rather die than compromise. And that's just where I'm at, the day and age which I live. And honestly, that's what we all should determine within our hearts and life, that we're going to die on the battlefield, on the right battlefield, toting the right Bible, amen, walking circumspectly to the Word of God and doing exactly what God has for us to do. It was a price of compromise that Ahab had for Naboth's vineyard. And compromise always comes at a price. It always comes with a price. I want you to understand something with me. They say, okay, well, let's take our music and we'll make it sound just like AC/DC, but we'll sprinkle a little bit of Jesus in there, amen, and we'll call it contemporary Christian. I'm running well tonight, amen. Listen to me and listen to me well. That's compromise. It's compromise. It's not the real thing. That's not where the glory's at. That's not, the Holy Spirit ain't within 100 miles of that mess. It's just seasoning. It's just an essence of the real thing. But it's not the real thing. It's just an essence of it. And that's exactly what the world tries to tell us. Go, well, listen, We believe just like you do. Well, do you? Amen. Just being honest with you. And this is what they tell us. They go, well, I feel the Holy Spirit when I listen to it. Well, we don't focus on feelings. Amen. We don't focus on feelings. I'll be 100% honest with you. Some of you may write me off after this, but I don't always feel saved. Amen. Just being, has there ever been anybody else that's ever battled with doubt? Amen. Anybody else that will admit that they're not perfect? Amen. That they mess up, that they fail? Amen. And listen, there's some days in my life as a born-again Christian that I don't feel saved. There's some days I look at myself in the mirror and I go, why do you even show to church? You're such a hypocrite, amen? You're nothing. Why do you even try to serve God? Because you're not worthy to do it. Listen, but the world will try to tell us that that's just okay. You just stayed on through it. Compromise. Compromise. That's what the world wants us to do. They go, well, even our government, they're okay. If you ever notice this, they're perfectly okay with the preachers that don't walk like they're supposed to, that don't talk like they're supposed to. They're perfectly okay with them leading a prayer in government, amen, and saying something completely unbiblical. They're perfectly fine if you post a Bible verse that doesn't mention the blood or doesn't mention sacrifice or doesn't mention anything that we would say controversial, amen. It's compromise. It's compromise. And that's what the world wants. Ahab's price was a price of compromise. And if you sell what you have, you'll have to compromise. You say, why is that? Because this is where the glory's at, amen? This is where God meets with. Not necessarily this, but in old-time religion, this is where the Spirit of God is. This King James Bible. Have you ever studied revivals of yesteryear? Find me one where the King James Bible wasn't the Bible that was used in a true move of God, amen? Find me one. I challenge you to go home and find one where they didn't use a King James. I'm not talking about manufactured worship, amen. I'm not talking about where they come in, and if we're all being real honest, we know exactly what to do to manufacture worship. We know how to dress. We know the right things to say. We know the right way to add to get a big move around the altar. We know what to do to get a big shout and spell worked up. But I'm talking about a real, true move of the Word or of the Spirit of God. Every time it's been because they were preaching the King James Bible. It's because they were walking according to God's Word. It's because they were seeking God's face. And this spirit, this awakening they like to use, it's nothing more than compromise. It's compromise. Stick with the stuff. Stay with the stuff. I I'll tell you this much. Not just preachers. We like to say, well, think about men of God of yesteryear. But what about laymen in the church, amen? I guarantee you every single one of us can think of somebody in a church somewhere growing up, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, somebody that's still going to the same church, amen? Still teaching the same Sunday school class, still doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, amen? It's because they're not compromising. It's because they're sticking with the stuff. It's because there has been a day in their life that they've put up a spiritual not for sale sign. And they're said that what we have is not for sale. And can I say this? Compromise. Compromise will do two things. Number one, it'll kill your walk with God, amen? And it'll kill a church quicker than anything in the country. Compromise. Ahab's price, it was a price of compromise. Not only that, it was a price of convenience. Price of convenience. What did Ahab say, verse number 2? Give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs. Watch this. Because it is near unto my house. Because it is near unto my house. Ahab's price was a price of convenience for Ahab. He said, why do you want my vineyard? Why? Because it's close to my house. It's convenient, amen. Just say, if you give up, there's a lot of individuals, just being honest, they give up what they had for convenience sake. Amen. And I know we're blessed at this church. We got people that drive completely out of their way to come to our church, amen? And because God's moving and God's blessing. And the old saying, a church that's alive is worth the drive, is still true, amen? But so many people, they go, well, I could go down the road to that church that preaches like they're supposed to and dresses like they're supposed to and has the right music, or I could go right around the corner to this place that's convenient for me. And just get a little seasoning, get a little compromise, and be happy with it. Or and listen, I'm great. It's great when it's used as a tool. Or, well, I'll just watch the service on Facebook because it's convenient. Because it's convenient. If you're using it as a tool, listen, I'm going to be the first to say if it wasn't for live stream, I wouldn't have a clue what was going on around this place. Just being honest with you, as a member of the church, traveling all the time, if it wasn't for live stream, I would not have a clue. That and Miss Kayla gives us a rundown of the minutes of church every Sunday after church, amen? But if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't know what was going on. So it's great as a tool, but many people, they use it as an excuse. For convenience sake. Well, and it's caused a lot of people to get out of church, amen? Listen, I'm going to get in trouble, but it's going to be all right, amen? Listen, I'll buy my own supper after church, amen? They go, well, I worked hard today. It's Wednesday. The kids ain't got their homework done. Things are going crazy. Why don't we just sit at home and watch it on the television? Now, can I just be honest with you, not look bad on me, amen? But I when we were sick with COVID back in January, you know what happens? We try that watch the live stream mess. You know what happens? You watch it, you make it through about the announcements and then through about the second choir song, and your phone rings or somebody sends you a text message or a notification comes up. Before you know it, you're so disconnected from the service that by the time it's invitation, I look at Kelsey and go, what'd he preach on? And can I just be honest with you? Listen, if we'd all take our halos off, tuck our wings in, I'm not the only one, amen? Convenience sake. And if so many people, they give up the real deal for convenience. Do you know revival's not convenient? It's not convenient. Study revivals of days gone by. Business owners close up shop. Amen. People cancel plans. People leave jobs. Why? Because they were more focused on meeting with God and doing things with God. It's not convenient. And serving God, it's not always convenient. Amen. I'll just be real honest with you. When the Lord started dealing with us about going to the Northeast, to work in the Northeast, I said, Lord, I sure would like to go to Georgia or somewhere where they talk like I do, where they understand me a little better, where things will be. The Lord said, no. If you want to be in my will, you're going to have to sacrifice convenience. You're going to have to sacrifice convenience. You're going to have our comfort zone. And now we all hate that word. We all hate the idea of change, of getting out of our comfort zone, of being uncomfortable. But you know, if you never do that, you never grow. You never grow. Remember the story we'd always hear as a kid of the baby bird that hatches from the egg, and then when it gets ready, the mama pushes it out of the nest, and it either flies or splat. Sometimes it's good to just be pushed out of the nest, amen, to get out of your comfort zone. For convenience sake, we find that this was one of Ahab's prices, the price of compromise, the price of convenience, the price of convenience. He said, I want this vineyard because it's close to my house. Amen. I'm going to say a word right here that I'm as guilty of as anybody else in the world. But it was a price because of laziness, because of slothfulness. Amen. You're preaching to me. Amen. Listen, I'm talking to myself. Amen. Slothfulness, a price of slothfulness. He said, it's closer to my house. I'd love to have, I just do that because it's easier. It's easier. But no, what we have to do is realize that although it may cost us our comfort, although it may cost us an inconvenience, that serving God is worth it, that being in the center of God's will, serving God rightly is still worth it, and that what we have is not for sale. So many people, so many churches, we could say and we could probably name a list of individuals that they dropped out of church all because they didn't want to be inconvenienced, amen, because of laziness. Ahab's price was a price of compromise. It was a price of convenience, though. Convenience. We don't like to be inconvenienced, man. How many of you, this is just a little inconvenience, but it happens to all of us. I imagine all of us have been here. How many of you have ever walked up to a drink machine, man, and put a dollar in the machine and hit the button and go, sold out. Hit another button and say, sold out. Hit the next one, sold out. And then the last thing on the bottom is water, which is what we all should be drinking, but we don't want that. So we just go, you know what? Give me my dollar back, and I'll go to somewhere. I'm just being honest with you. Inconvenience, we don't like it. We don't like it. But we got to determine in our hearts and in our lives that even if it's going to be an inconvenience, even if it's not in our comfort zone, that we are going to do what God wants us to do. That we're going to walk right, that we're going to talk right, listen, that we're going to dress right, amen. That we're going to listen to the right kind of things, amen. Listen, it's easy. I have come to the conclusion that any individual that's ever written a bluegrass gospel album, every song has the same beat, amen. Dun, 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 dun. And when you're driving 5 or 6 hours down the road, and you got that on, after a while, that dun, dun sounds like. Just being honest with you. So it's real tense. But you know what we have to do? No, that's not right. It's not right. We're going to listen to what we're supposed to listen to because what we have is not for sale. It's not for sale. Ahab's price was a price of compromise. It was a price of convenience. It was a price of chase. You say, what do you get that? Look at this. He said, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs because it is near unto my house. Watch this. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Time out. Number one question. If it's a better vineyard, why doesn't Ahab want it? If it's a better vineyard, why doesn't Ahab? Simply this. It's all about chasing. There's a little saying, a little phrase, a little motto that says that. It's the 80-20 rule. And it says that people are happy and satisfied with 80% of their life. But there's always that 20% that they're always chasing after. They want a nicer car. They want a nicer house. They want more money. They want more stuff. There's always that 20% that we're always chasing. And what ends up happening is we get so focused on chasing the 20% that we neglect the 80%. And this is what was happening here. Ahab, he said, I'll give you a better vineyard. Well, if you got a better vineyard, why in the world are you wanting Naboth's vineyard? If it's better, if this vineyard is so great, if it's near to your house, if it's so great and this other vineyard's so much better, why don't you want it? It's the 80-20 rule. How many of us know a marriage that's been messed up because of that same principle that I just told you? Amen. Do you know the devil's interested in 3 things in your life? Number one, he's interested in your mind. Man, if he can get inside of here, right here, he'll turn you into your biggest enemy. Amen. If he can get control of your mind and what goes in your mind, he's got you. Not only that, did you know he's interested in your money? Amen. If he can get you spending your money on the things of this world, on righteous living, the church goes under. But number three, if you're a married individual, he's interested in your marriage. I say if you're not married, he's interested in your marriage. He'd love to get you to marry the wrong person, amen? The devil's interested in your marriage. And how many of us know individuals that their life, it seemed like they were walking close to God, things were going just right, and God was moving and was using them to do something, and the devil got in there with that 80-20 rule and busted their marriage up. And because of that, now they're has-beens. Amen. So we must be careful not to be so busy chasing the 20% that we take our eye off of the 80% that we already have. You know who else did that? The prodigal son. The prodigal son. Remember Luke 16? He went to his father and said, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me, his inheritance. And it said the father divided unto him their living. And it said, and the younger of the sons, it says he took and moved to the far country and began righteous living. And it says, and not many day after spent all. You know what happened with the prodigal son? He got his eye on the 20%. He had all he could ever want at the father's house. That's where the servants were at. That's where the fatted calf was at. That's where the robe and the ring was at. Amen? But he got his eye on righteous living. Got his eye on the far country. And he lost his 80% in the pursuit for his 20%. What about Adam and Eve? Remember Eve? She got what she wanted but lost what she already had. She got her own the 20%. lost the 80%. And Ahab's price was a price of compromise. It was a price of convenience. It was a price of chase. But I want us to look at this, Ahab's price, not just that. But now we see Naboth's position. What was Naboth's position on the matter? Look in verse number 3, what he said. And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee." Naboth's position was simply this. He said, "The Lord forbid it. The Lord forbid it." He goes, "What you said to me sounds awful nice. Sounds awful nice." Well, notice what he said and what Ahab said. He said, "Give me the vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs because it's close to my house." He goes, "I will give thee a better vineyard than that." Or he even said this, "Or if it seemed good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." Amen. And I could preach all night right there and I'll leave that alone. Amen. Just know this, the Bible says that for the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. I'll leave it right there. But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me." He said, "The Lord forbid it. I cannot give thee what I have because that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord forbid that I give you the inheritance of my fathers." That was Naboth's position on that. And that's the same position you and I are going to have to take. Because you know what happens? The devil comes in just like Ahab and goes, "Listen, trade with me what you have. And I'll give you, I'm going to make it a garden of herbs. It'll still have a little taste, a little essence of the real thing. It'll be just a little compromise." He said, it's close to your house. It's convenience. I'll even give you a better vineyard. I'll make it better. How many of you know the devil's ever showed something in your life and portrayed it to be so great, and then once you really got there, it wasn't as great as what the devil made it look like? We use the analogy, we hear the analogy all the time of billboards for alcohol and for sinful living. And you know what it always shows? It always shows a group of guys or a group of girls with all their friends, and they're having a good time, and it looks like they are living it up, living the high life. But what it never shows you is the battered lives behind it. What it never shows you is the totaled vehicles, the killed family members, the beaten wives, the neglected children. It never shows you any of that. Why is that? Because that's the way the devil wants it to be. The devil designs it that way. Why? To make it look better than what it actually is. He said, "Or if it seemed good to thee, I would give thee the worth of it in money." And let me just say this. I know individuals that I could call them now. I won't do that. I won't even tell you who it is after service. No, I have the individuals that traded their relationship they had with the Lord for a few more hours at a new job. Amen. I'm all for working. You got to do it. I do it 48 hours a week. Listen, I understand you gotta provide for your family. But taking that extra shift on Sunday and missing church ain't worth it. Amen? It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It's compromise. But we gotta have the same position as Naboth. He said, "The Lord forbid it that I give thee the inheritance of my fathers." He said, "The Lord said, no. The Lord said, that's not right. I cannot give you. What I have is not for sale because the Lord forbid it." Now, I want us to look at this, and I'll be done here in just a few minutes. But I want you to look at this with me. Naboth's position, he said, "Lord forbid it that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." But how many of you know the devil is ever active? The devil does not rest. He's ever active. So look what happens in verse number 4. "And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he has said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread." And you know what Ahab's doing? He's pitching a fit is what he's doing right here, man. "But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, said to him, to give me thy vineyard for money. Or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard." What did you say all that for? It's simply this. We got to have that position. When the devil's relentless, the devil is ever active. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for our adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's what the devil wants to do with our lives. And he wants to come to you and go, listen, I know you've been going down there to Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I know God's got a spirit of revival in there, and you're getting ready to start a building project, and God's doing great things. He said, but you know, wouldn't nobody say anything to you about missing church if you went to that church around the corner. Man, just being honest with you. Wouldn't nobody, I don't think nobody would mind that you just go in there and sit in while they preach from the NIV or from the New King James. I don't think nobody would mind. I know that music sounds an awful lot like rock and roll and like the music of this world, but you know what you're supposed to. You know the right thing. It's fine. Just go ahead and sit in there. And I'm running away. Listen, I know it's the truth. We see it time and time again. But we must say, no, what we have is not for sale. If you've never been there where Naboth was at, there you will get there one day. Somebody's going to come to you and go, listen, that's just too strict. I don't know why you do that. I don't know why. That's just too hard. I don't know why you put up with that. Just being honest with you. But we must be a day in our life where we put up our spiritual not for sale sign. And we say, I've come too far to turn back now. The Lord has been too good for me to turn my back. And hard times come along. And you know what? Every single one of us, we'd be real honest, feel like quitting sometimes. Some Sunday school teachers, you go into Sunday school and it seems like the class is empty, and it seems like when there's people in the class, they could care less if they're in Sunday school. And you think, why do I even study to teach? Why do I even show up to Sunday school on Sunday morning? Man, choir members, why do I even get in the choir and sing? Can't nobody hear me no way. We get up here, and why do I even try? But there's got to be a day in our life where we realize, just like she sung, that although the world falls apart, although things are going awful, although the world changes constantly, the Lord is still the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. And because of that, we don't back up. We don't back down. We don't shut up. But no, we step forward and we step up and we step forward for the cause of Christ. And we do what God wants us to do, because what we have is not for sale. It's not for a price. It's not for a price. Not only do we see Naboth's position, let me show you this. We see Naboth's proclamation. What did he say? He said in verse number 6, look in the last part of verse number 6, he said, I will not give thee my vineyard. I will not give thee my vineyard. Now notice up in the beginning, verses, Naboth said, the Lord forbid it to me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. But Naboth then said, no, listen, I will not give thee my vineyard. Say, so what's you saying with all that? There's got to be that day in your life where you decide, I'm not gonna. Not because it's what I've always been taught, not because it's what people say I ought to do, not because I'm taking the advice of another, but I choose to be a Christian, and I choose to say that what I have is not for sale. What I have is not for sale. Don't sell out to this world. Don't be a sellout. If you're going to sell out to anything, sell out to serve Jesus. Don't sell out to the world. Listen to me and listen to me well. Young people especially. I know I'm young too, amen. I know I'm not much older than any of you, amen. But listen to me. Listen to me well. I've been exactly where some of you have been. When you go to a public school, when you walk down the school hallways, when you around friends and those things, and they go, well, listen, that's too strict. You shouldn't put up with that. Well, my parents let me do this. Amen. Well, at our church, we do it this way. There needs to be that day in your life where you say, what I have is not for sale. I'm going to stick with the stuff and stay with it. Statistics tell us this. 80% of young people never darken the doors of a church after they leave to go to college. That's sad. But you know what happened? There was never a day in their life where they said, what I have is not for sale. What I have is not for sale. I choose to be a Christian. What I have is not for sale. Let me read you a few statistics. I found this in studying and looking as we present with the ministry. I try to keep our presentation fresh, because if you just say the same thing over and over and over again, it gets real repetitive after a while. But I want these are some updated statistics as of the year 2020. Every year, juvenile courts in the U.S. handle an estimated 1.7 million cases in which youth are charged with a delinquency offense. Every day in the United States of America, over 22,000 youth are detained. Doesn't mean they'll get arrested, they'll serve time, but they're detained and are in trouble for a delinquency offense. To put that in perspective, that's 13 every minute, every day. You know what we need? We need some young people to stand up and say, listen, although the world may be going this way, although my friends may have went this way, although things go this way, what I have is not for sale. And what walking with God, having that relationship with the Lord, is more important. And that what I have is not for sale. Listen to this. 250,000, that's a quarter of a million, if my math is correct, youthful offenders are tried as adults in the U.S. every year. We need some young people to stand up for the Lord, man. We need some older people like to stand up for the Lord. Amen. There's people that you can reach that I'll never be able to reach. And that's not just preaching. That is the truth. There are people that will not pay me any mind, will not pay no attention to me, but if it come from you, they would listen. Listen, young people, people you go to school with, people you work with, people you see on a daily basis that you can reach that I'll never have the opportunity to reach. And you know what it was for me as a kid? Can I be real transparent with you tonight? I was a bus kid. Come in on the church van. And one thing that drove me crazy when I was a van kid was simply this. It absolutely broke my heart that my parents sent me to church and other kids' parents brought them to church. Now, people that were church kids, they'd be like, "Woo, my parents brought me to church." But mine sent me. Mine didn't bring me. And you know what influenced me more than anything? Those days, Brother Tim, when I'd come into you and Brother Robert's Sunday school class, off of Van Kien, probably looked like a mess. This is the truth. This, y'all don't think this is funny. I didn't know how to tie my shoes till I was 13 years old. That's the truth. That's why I wear boots now. They're just easier, amen. No, I'm just messing with you. But I remember coming into that Sunday school class, teenage boys Sunday school class, off a riding church van, with the things that I'd saw the night before, the things that I'd had to experience the night before, and was embraced by kids who knew what it was like to serve the Lord, that knew what it was like to grow up in a Christian home, that knew what it was like to walk with God. Why was that? Because at that point in their life, they had a sign up that said, what I had wasn't for sale. Man, we're doing the right thing. Now we think back now, we look at some of them, and they've put their sign away, and they've went a different way. But you'll never know the influence it had on me. I'll never forget the first youth Sunday I was asked to teach Sunday school. This is the truth. I probably harassed poor Randy Nong to death that night. Going, now listen, you got to be here early enough because I've got to teach Sunday school in the morning. Amen. And the first Sunday school lesson I ever taught was on the Ten Commandments. And I gave them what for all of about 5 minutes. I just went right down the list. But listen. People who walk, you did a good job teaching Sunday school. Sometimes that's what it takes. To somebody who's lost, who don't know no better, seeing somebody who goes, I know what I believe. I'm standing by what I believe. I'm staying by the stuff. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and what I have is not for sale. You'll never know the influence that can have on somebody. Now, individuals that put up a fake sign on Sunday morning and say, what I have is not for sale, shout the victory, but Monday through Wednesday, live like hell itself. Amen. That does nothing but make it harder for the rest of us. That's all that does, is ruin our influence. But there's got to be that day in our life where we say, what we have is not for sale. I remember going home off the church van the first couple times I drove the church van. Just got saved in children's church, and I drove. Man, did you see them other kids? Them other young men, they were wearing ties. So I called one person who I knew how to find a good deal at the Goodwill, my granny. Amen. And I said, Granny, I need you to find me some shirts and ties to wear to church. Amen. You know why? Because I said, listen, there's something about them that I want. There's something about them that had an influence on me. Why? Because they had decided what they had went for sale. Older people, adults, that, you know, the only adults I'd ever been around before coming to church, they were living the same lifestyle of sin that I was around 24/7. But found some people that showed us that, you know, we laugh and we can have a good time and we can do it and serve the Lord. Some individuals that said, what I have's not for sale. What I have's not for sale. We have an anomaly around Amazing Grace. You say, what's that? I look around and I've been coming to this church pretty much since I was 11 years old. I'll be 23 the last day of this month, 2 weeks. That's what, over half of my life. And there's still individuals sitting in this room that was still here the first Sunday I walked in the door. Still individuals that still sitting the same Bible. It's never changed. They've put up a sign that said, what I have is not for sale. What I have, not for sale. I think about Miss Gloria. I don't want to embarrass you, but I think about how she's always been faithful, amen, man. And if she wasn't here, you knew that she was sick or somebody was sick, amen. But I remember I'd get to sit on the pew with Miss Gloria because I was too old to go to children's church and I was too young to drive, so church fans still come pick me up. I get to sit with Miss Gloria and watch her raise her hand, amen. See her get up here sometimes and help them sing Swing Wide the Gates. Y'all remember that? Amen. And I thought, man, I hope when I get seasoned like that, man, I still got a sign up that says, what I have's not for sale. What I have's not for sale. I think about individuals. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, seeing wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It also tells us to run with patience the race which is set before us. Why is that? Because we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses aren't the angels. Amen? Those witnesses are the ones that's already beat us home. That's made it home. That's in glory today. And because of that, those individuals, their influence said, what I have is not for sale. It ought to encourage us and burden us to want to follow in their footsteps. They knew how to run the race. They knew the path to take. So we ought to follow them. And there ought to be a day in our life where we say, what I have is not for sale. And do you know the great thing about signs? I thought about this. The great thing about signs is once they get knocked down, they can be put back up. Amen. Do you know that the prodigal son, when he left the father's house, he was no less of the father's son than when he left, than when he come back. So those individuals that dropped that sign, that used to say, what I have is not for sale, and now they're living, do you know what happened? They can come back, get right with God, and God can put them right back on path. They can put up another sign that says, what I have is not for sale. Let's stand tonight.